Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Listen to this for an anxiety-inducing statement. 3 years to prepare for war against an axis of upheaval. It's the stark warning from the British Army's new Chief of General Staff, General Sir Raleigh Walker, in his first public speech. He cautioned that Russia, China, North Korea and Iran are increasingly working together and that Britain has just enough time to form a credible land force that would be a deterrent to enemy forces taking on the West in a, wait for it, Third World War. I'm joined now by Hamish de Breton Gordon, former British Army officer and tank commander. Good morning to you, Hamish. Thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us. It's not unusual for soldiers to grumble about the amount of resources that they receive, but how unprecedented and remarkable are comments like those?
Well, good morning and thanks for having me on. It does sound rather strange sitting here in the southwest of the UK, and I'm sure for you guys in Ireland, that we are talking about World War III. I expect if you were sat in the Baltic states or Poland, you might have a slightly different view. And you're absolutely right with Rollo Walker, new in post. He wants to impose himself. But a lot of what he's saying and what the Chief of the General Staff, Admiral Rapkin, has been saying recently really backs this up. And I think, you know, we're in the unprecedented position of a war in Europe. You know, Russia allegedly has lost over 600,000 soldiers dead in this war so far and show absolutely no signs of progressing west. Now, I agree with Rollo Walker and others that part of the reason that Russia invaded Ukraine is because they looked west and they didn't see a conventional deterrence. They didn't even see anybody sort of shouting to stop them. So that's why they progressed. And sadly, the axis of evil that's being called the Iranians and the potentially the Chinese and others do have these expansionist ideas. And, you know, a defense strategy is only effective, you know, if it is strong and works. And the British military, the what's called the peace dividend from the end of the Cold War has been so well and truly spent that we now have a British army that's the smallest since even before the Battle of Waterloo. So it is a timely reminder to the new government in the UK that actually, you know, defence is something key and the first their first duty, and they need to invest in it to okay. make sure that it's credible in future.
How relevant, though, is the comparison to the numbers at the time of the Battle of Waterloo? I mean, what purpose does a conventional army serve in an era of unconventional warfare?
Well, that is a really good point. And without wanting to eulogise about history too much, I think a lot of people would be surprised to know that the Nazis are actually defeated in Europe because they relied on technology above numbers. And it was the Allies' numbers that prevailed. So, of course, technology is absolutely key, as you said, and as the Chief of the General Staff has said. But you still need men and women to man these capabilities. And you look at the size of the Ukraine army, it's massive, hundreds of thousands to do the job it's doing. So it's a combination of technology and numbers that is required for a conventional, credible defence,
yeah.
I think.
But, you know, those numbers don't now have to come in the form of camouflaged boots on the ground standing along a border. I mean, it's probably far more valuable to you to have teenagers in black death metal T-shirts controlling an army of drones.
You're absolutely right. I couldn't agree more. Because if we don't invest in that type of capability, which is expensive, we've got to go back to the conventional defence, you know, that we had during the Cold War. So absolutely. And you look at the Ukraine army, it is full of those kids that you are mentioning who have these particular skills. But it is still, numbers are important. We look at drones in Ukraine. There are hundreds of thousands, if not millions of them, that still need required to be controlled. So technology, and we must take heed of what's happening in Ukraine, because the British Army in particular, and I'm sure a lot of other armies in Europe, are configured to fight a war that we are not seeing, that it does not exist. So we need to spend time and effort to reconfigure our military, absolutely, as you say, with various capabilities that hitherto we didn't see as people in sort of, you know, green uniform, as it were. We must reflect that. The British military has been very slow to catch up.
What kind of scenarios do you think that they are gaming when he says Russia, China, North Korea, Iran increasingly working together? Because, you know, all of those theatres of war are a very long way away from Britain.
Well, that's true. And I certainly think that the UK must look more, not so much inwardly, but certainly in the European theatre, as we call it. You know, quite frankly, why we have two aircraft carriers that cost billions and billions of pounds to protect the South China Seas, I just don't know. And that's part of the reset we need. So I think we need to focus on...
Does that not keep a certain amount of stability? Prevent China from taking offensive action in Taiwan?
Well, just sort of coming on to that.
Sorry.
I don't think that is necessarily the UK's role or you know, dare I say it, Ireland's role. You know, I would like to see these partnerships like AUKUS, where we're working more closely with the Americans, say the Australians. To me, the Australians, the South China Seas, that is the area that perhaps they should be focusing on, leaving us and the European NATO countries to focus in our own theatre. We don't have a bottomless pit of money. That's the key thing. We need to, our most direct threat at the moment is the Russians in Europe, and we must counter that first and, in a way, hope that our allies and others will keep a close eye on North Korea and Iran and the Chinese. And we will help in other ways, but having lots of ships stationed out there, I can't see that's a good, effective use of our money at the moment.
Reading between the lines here, it would appear that General Sir Rollo Walker is talking about a scenario in which America, under a Trump presidency, pulls back from the level of commitment that the Biden administration has shown to Ukraine. Is Europe, is the British Army, German Army, French Army, capable of going it alone in Ukraine?
Well, I mean, you're absolutely right, and that is something that NATO European countries hopefully are looking at very closely. It is absolutely possible that Trump and Vance are going to withdraw US support to Ukraine, which has been vital, and Europe needs to step up. And, you know, I don't agree with Trump on virtually anything, but he, you know, his view that Europe needs to do a bit more of the heavy lifting in defence of Europe, I think he's absolutely right. So we need to. I think anybody who thinks that if Russia prevails in Ukraine, that Putin will stop there, you know, really needs to dig into history and read about the history of Russia. Because if you're sat in the Baltic states at the moment, you certainly don't believe that. So I think we've got to step up to the plate. Absolutely.
Hey, Mr. Breton Gordon, thank you very much.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.